Welcome back to another episode of Less Panic, More Peace. If you're new here to this podcast, hi, my name is Rima Glani, and we are going to share some advice, tips, and stories so you can have a little less panic and a little more peace when dealing with food allergies. Today, we're going to speak to a very special guest. She's an allergist, author, and mother with a child who acquires food allergies all in one. She'll be sharing some super interesting stories and tips. So without further ado, I introduce to you all Dr. Sakina Bajawala. Thank you for being on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Rhea. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. So did I get that right? Are you a mother with a child with food allergies?
I am a mother of a child who used to have food allergies.
Oh, interesting. Awesome. So we'll get into that later. But so can you just tell the audience a little bit about who you are and kind of what you do?
Sure. So I am a board certified allergist and immunologist for both adults and children. I practice in the suburbs of Chicago. I really, really enjoy taking care of kids. So most of my practice is pediatric, and I have a special focus on the management of food allergies in children. Outside of my work in the office, I really like to do patient advocacy for food allergies in particular, but also environmental health. And I love being a mom and a wife and a community member. So I really enjoy my family time and time with friends out here. It's been a little hard with COVID, but really looking forward to getting social again soon.
Yes, I love that. So as you said, being with kind of having COVID in the midst of this pandemic and the chaos and all that stuff, it's on top of that even harder with food allergies, right? And dealing with your patients and kind of being an allergist, which is so inspiring. Do you focus on immunology? Is that right?
So all allergists are also immunologists by training.
Oh, okay.
So our fellowship is combined. And so our immunology focus is on either immune deficiencies and also immune hypersensitivities. So either your body is not reacting enough to protect you against the things you need to be protected against, or your body is completely overreacting against things it should be ignoring, and that is essentially allergy.
Oh, wow. That's actually really, really interesting. So can you kind of go back to your child, and actually she doesn't have any allergies anymore? How old is she?
So I have two sons.
Oh, sorry.
I have a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old. And my eldest, as an infant, experienced hives after the consumption of peanuts and pistachios. And so after performing allergy skin testing, we discovered that he was sensitized to peanuts, cashews, and pistachios. And so we started avoiding those and living the life of a food allergy family. Right. And I was already in my allergy training at the time. I was a fellow, so I wasn't yet a board certified allergist, but I was already a board certified pediatrician, and I was doing my fellowship. And it was so interesting to have that dichotomy of taking care of allergic children as my job, but also having to take care of an allergic child as my primary job as a mother. And so I was learning about food allergies from a clinical perspective at the same time that I was dealing with the diagnosis of a food allergy in my child.
Yeah. So like being a doctor, you're aiding somebody else's child, but right. For you being a parent, your number one priority is to protect your child at all costs and everything.
Exactly.
So is being a doctor and parent dealing with this, do you find it becoming more real to you in a way?
Well, I would say that being a parent of a child who was living with food allergy actually made me a much better doctor for kids who have food allergies, because I wasn't just coming at it from a textbook perspective. I was coming into the room with some lived experience that I could share with the families I was caring for. So, you know, we talk about empathy being so important to the doctor-patient relationship. So I do feel that having that experience of protecting my own child and dealing with family members who always wanted to shove sweets in his mouth and having to say, no, 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 what's in that, right? That was really helpful to me in being able to relate to the parents of the children I was caring for. And I think that made me a better allergist.
I 100% agree. My mom is actually an optometrist, so she totally understands, you know, kind of saying, get off your screens to us. And so she's more very, very aggressive with her kind of, since she's very mastered in that field, she wants to implement that in our daily lives as well. So there definitely is some sort of connection. And I definitely agree, like if you kind of connect with the parents who you are kind of treating with their patients, it's 100 times better, because empathy and kind of saying, I got you, I understand you, is way more important than kind of giving them solid facts and they kind of have to go on their own with whatever they're doing. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. So you're saying, so your child, your two sons, right? I'm sorry, I said daughter. I don't know why I assumed a daughter. But your two sons, they have an allergy to nuts, correct?
So my eldest had the peanut, cashew, and pistachio for the first few years of life. And we were living that lifestyle, avoidance, avoiding cross-contamination, having epis everywhere we went, being very careful at restaurants and at family functions. And of course, like in many families, even despite their best efforts, we had an accidental exposure. It was years down the line. And one of his grandparents had accidentally fed him a stew that had peanuts in it. And nothing happened. And so this prompted us to do retesting, because anytime you have an exposure in a child who is living with a food allergy, but there's a significant exposure, but there's no reaction, that kind of gets your feelers up and says, huh, I wonder if this kid is one of the lucky 20 to 30% that spontaneously outgrow their food allergy on their own. And so we checked. And lo and behold, the skin test had turned negative.
Oh my
gosh. So then we pursued oral challenges for peanut, cashew, and pistachio, and he passed. And we started in reincorporating those foods into our family diet. And I can't tell you how freeing that was to have to go from the lifestyle of avoidance to a lifestyle where we just didn't need to worry about it anymore. It changed our lives. And I wanted to be able to give that to my patients too.
Wow, that's an amazing story. Kind of having a solid background and then wanting to implement that exact thing to your patients. That's amazing. So he just simply grew out of them.
Right. And that's not typical. Right? It's only maybe 20, max 30% of very young children who have a real significant food allergy to peanuts or tree nuts who end up outgrowing it. The other 70, 80% have persistence of that food allergy throughout their lifetimes. And so we just happened to fall into the lucky few. There's no way that I can alter the course of the natural history of the disease for my patients and make them spontaneously outgrow the food allergy. So what I started looking into was ways to desensitize my patients to the things that they were already allergic to, with the intention of increasing their level of tolerance to these foods, so that if they did have an accidental exposure in the future, it hopefully wouldn't result in a severe reaction. It might open them up to the ability to eat items that were labeled for cross-contamination. And in some cases, especially if they liked the taste of the food, it would allow them to then freely incorporate that food into their cooking and their diet.
Wow. You know, that's very interesting. Actually, two summers ago in 2018, I went to an allergist. She did the desensitization to me, actually. Her name is Dr. Law, and I interviewed her on my podcast. And it's so interesting how you kind of are doing the same exact thing, because I feel like this can be, this is the hope, you know, this is the peace kind of from all that panic. This is the hope and the new advancements that's going to come up. And it's an amazing field. And it's so interesting that you're doing this. I went to her and she basically kind of carried a computer, and she wanted me to be more tolerant, I think it was, right? To be more tolerant to my allergy. So I'm allergic to nuts, and my sister was allergic to eggs. She grew out of that. But we're both allergic to nuts. We have very severe allergies, and we haven't gotten it tested. Like, we did the process, but we didn't have it tested yet. But I thought that was really interesting, that connection of you both are kind of in that same field. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the differences between the different types of food allergy therapies that are offered is that with some of the therapies, the proof is in the pudding. For example, with oral immunotherapy, which is what I do in my practice, you know for sure what a patient is able to tolerate because they're eating it every day. So you start with the tiniest microscopic dose of a food allergen that is so small that you cannot see it, you cannot smell it, you cannot taste it, and it is exceedingly unlikely to trigger an allergic reaction. And you make sure the patient tolerates that. And then gradually over time, you keep challenging the patient with higher and higher and higher doses. But in between those visits, the patient continues to take that dose every day at home. And so over an extended period of time, months, you know, sometimes 6 to 15 months, it can take to do this therapy properly. Each and every day when the patient is dosing, they have the proof that they need to know what their level of tolerance is. And the next time they come into the office, we give them a little bit more, and now we've proven they can tolerate a little bit more, and so on and so forth, until we can get, using peanut as an example, to on a graduation day, our patients will eat 24 peanuts just sitting there. 6 peanuts, and then 10 minutes later, another 6, and then another 6, and another 6, and we'll watch them for an hour and make sure everything's fine. And they have
that happened
so hard. Yeah.
Can you share a story about someone who kind of had that? That's awesome.
We have treated hundreds of patients in our practice with this therapy. And we're kind of pushing our 250th graduate soon after doing this for close to a decade.
A decade?
Yeah. So I've been doing this for a long time.
Oh my God. So how long does it take?
It can take anywhere from 6 to 18 months to finish the process, depending on how allergic you are to begin with, or how many foods we're treating, right? Some patients are not just allergic to one food, but they're allergic to multiple foods. So we might do a combination therapy where we're treating for peanut and cashew and walnut all together. Or I might have a child who's doing milk and egg, or somebody else who's doing coconut and sesame, right? We can customize the therapy to exactly what a patient is allergic to. But it's a lot of work, not only for the practice, but also for the patient who's doing the therapy. Because you can imagine, if you're allergic to something, anytime you take that substance and you deliberately and consciously put it back into your body, you are taking on a risk. You are taking on a risk that you might experience an allergic reaction, because after all, you are exposing yourself to your allergen. So there are a lot of safety rules that are involved in this therapy. And that's why it's so essential that if you're going to pursue something like this, it absolutely needs to be under the direct supervision of a board certified allergist or an expert in the immune system who can develop these doses for you to be just the right dose. And they understand how to recognize and immediately treat any allergic reaction so that it isn't dangerous for you. We can optimize your health in advance. You optimize your nutrition, your sleep, your mental health, your gut health. All of these things are things that we need to focus on beforehand to set the stage for a successful treatment. There's a lot of work that goes into it, but it can be done. And there is a growing number of board certified allergists around the country and even around the world who are beginning to offer this therapy. And Rhea, you may know that just in early 2020, we had the FDA approval of the first oral immunotherapy product for peanut. And that is now FDA approved. And so allergists can prescribe that therapy for their patients and supervise all the updosing in their offices.
Oh my God, that's amazing. So there's a lot of great new advancements I can see and so many great things that you guys are working on. And it's so inspiring. So can you share a story about a girl or a boy who kind of had their allergen cured in a way?
Right. So one thing I would say is I wouldn't necessarily call it a cure. Yeah. I would call it a treatment. It's a okay. very effective treatment.
So what's the difference then?
So a cure is when you simply don't have the allergy anymore, right? You would do all the tests. It would be completely negative. It'll look as though you never had a peanut allergy in the first place, right? A treatment is that you technically, when we do your testing, we can see that you are still sensitized. You still make IgE, this allergic antibody, against the food. But we have gotten your immune system to a place where you can handle ingesting it and being around it and being exposed to it. So even though you're technically still allergic, your allergy is very much under control. Think of it like somebody who has diabetes and they take insulin, right? Just because their blood sugars are under control, we don't tell them, oh, well, we've cured your diabetes, right? Because if you tell them that, they might stop taking their medicine. And then guess what's going to happen? Their sugars are going to shoot up again, right? And they could be in a heap of trouble. Think of the allergy the same way and the allergy treatments the same way. Just because you're tolerating the allergen doesn't mean you're not allergic. You're allergic, but we have it under control with the desensitization. And as long as you continue taking your dose regularly, we can maintain that control. But if you stop dosing, if you say, oh, I don't want to do this anymore, right? Well, it's going to be like a rubber band. Pull it, it's going to snap back, right? Oh, and so it snaps back to the default state of allergy. And so if you want to really aim for a cure, right, which is the allergy would be under control and the testing would be negative in the absence of regular dosing, you would need to induce something called sustained immunotolerance. And sustained immunotolerance is when we have not only desensitized the patient, but we have modulated the immune system enough so that the patient is actually becoming less and less and less allergic or sensitized to that food allergen to the point where it's not even there anymore. Or even if it is, the patient can tolerate being off the dose for months at a time and still pass a challenge afterwards. We don't yet know which patients are going to develop sustained immunotolerance and which patients aren't after a course of desensitization therapy or oral immunotherapy. And so we operate with a conservative mindset. We say, listen, your best bet is to keep dosing regularly. And if you can't dose every single day, let's see if we can get you dosing two to three times a week and at least keep it in so that you don't lose your gains from all the hard work that you put in.
You know, you wrote a book on allergies. I was like, you should write a book about this, but you already did.
I did. In 2018, I wrote a book about my experiences and my patients' experiences with food allergen desensitization therapy, both with oral immunotherapy and a lower dose immunotherapy called sublingual immunotherapy, where you put drops under the surface of your tongue. With this, a similar sort of goal as oral immunotherapy, but with lower doses. And we compiled that into a 200-page book because I was answering the same questions over and over again. And I felt that doing it with the stories of different patients would be helpful. And we're very fortunate in that, you know, it became a bestseller overnight and has sold thousands of copies and hopefully helped thousands of people, even if they don't decide to pursue oral desensitization for their food allergy, at least they know that a treatment option exists for them and their only option isn't just to avoid.
Yes. Congratulations, first of all. My dad wrote three bestseller books. And let me tell you, he said that he described writing a book in one word, torture. And was it torturous for you when you wrote your book?
You know, I actually really enjoyed the experience. I would say the editing part was kind of torturous. Part, yeah. But the ideas and putting that together and putting it on paper was a joy. So much so that I wrote another book. And so, you know, in 2018, we published The Food Allergy Fix. And then we decided that was a book for adults and kind of teens. But we decided that we needed a good way to explain this very complex immunomodulatory procedure to young children in a way that they could understand. Because if you have a 5 or 6-year-old who's going to be pursuing this therapy, but they've been living their whole life being told, oh, you have to stay away from this because if you eat it, you might need a shot, you might need to go to the hospital. Well, if you bring them to the office and you try to feed them that food, they're going to be terrified of you.
Yeah, avoid, avoid, avoid has always been the mantra. And kind of a new way of thinking would be amazing. So you wrote, what's it called?
It's called Zippy, A Story About Oral Immunotherapy for Food Allergies. And I wrote it in collaboration with Susie Brower, who is a wonderful mother of children with food allergies down in Missouri, who has pursued oral immunotherapy for her children. And so it was her idea to collaborate and put this together. And so we published the illustrated children's book in 2019 as a companion to The Food Allergy Fix. And this book explains the concept of food allergen immunotherapy through the story of a race car who is allergic to racing fuel and needs to go to meet the pit crew and the pit boss to get gradually desensitized to racing fuel one drop at a time so he can win the big race.
That's a great way to explain it for children. I know it's so complicated and complex. Like, even I don't understand the entire thing, and kind of making an illustration in that storyline. That's amazing. It's actually funny that you brought that up. If you have a kid's book, I'm actually writing a kid's book right now.
Oh, that's great.
And yeah, it's, I wrote it and I wrote it with, I'm not sure if you know her, but she's one of the top famous, her name is Dr. Ruchi Gupta.
Yes, and I know her well.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm doing it with her daughter. And so we are writing a book together. We wrote it. It's going to be published in a month. It's called The Hidden Hero. And it's a little kid's book. It's about mental health in children, because we know that children physically go through things, but also mentally, they don't know exactly how to express it. So writing it down in a book, in a kid's book with illustrations, I think that would be super, super helpful for them. Because when you learn younger, I think it would be a lot better, because when you learn young, I feel like you actually obtain a lot more information and go about your rest of your life thinking what you learned before, right? So I just thought it was really interesting. And yeah, I'm excited for the book.
Well, I can't wait to read it. You'll have to announce it all over the place.
I'll send it to you.
I'm really excited to read it and share it with my patients.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Yeah, so you shared your book with your patients, right? That's how you basically sold your book.
Yeah, and we had it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores. You know, COVID happened soon after the children's book was published.
Oh my God.
And so we didn't have a whole lot of opportunities to do book signings and things like that, but really looking forward to getting back on the road and sharing these books with people soon. And one more book in my brain is churning Ooh, around.
Exciting, so. Exciting stuff. I always think that books are so exciting and all these new projects because they can really help somebody. You know, helping somebody is my pure obligation. And yeah, it's really exciting. And you're helping so many people with your books and your stories. So your first book, right, is about stories of people who actually did the sensitization, right?
Right. So it includes a compilation of patient stories. Of course, the names have been changed to protect people's privacy, but it also does a deep dive into the science behind why food allergies develop, the history of desensitization throughout history and how we got to this point, how if you decide to pursue desensitization, your appointments might work and what you can expect during the process in terms of risks, benefits, and logistics, and what your life will look like afterwards. So trying to really be a guidebook for people who are looking for some hope with a food allergy diagnosis.
Yeah, so tell us a story from your book, one of the stories.
Okay, so let's take the story of Charlie. That's who we talk about in our introduction. And Charlie is a little boy with a peanut allergy, and he is a baseball player. And his big, big dream is to go to a Cubs game. But he has never been comfortable going to a Cubs game because there's peanut shells all over the place, all over the seat, on the floor. And his family was very concerned, and he had a history of reacting to that kind of exposure with contact hives and things like that in the past. So he had come to our office for a full course of peanut immunotherapy, and it took around a year. And he slowly built up and built up and built up. And when he came for his graduation visit, it was so exciting because he had a new baby brother who had just started eating peanuts with him. And so we knew that his brother was not going to be allergic to peanuts. And his sister was there and his parents were there. And they pulled out this, he ate six peanuts, and then he ate another six and another six and another six. And his parents at the end were all celebrating. They bring out this giant trophy, this huge peanut, a big golden peanut in a trophy form. And that was his big prize. And he was so excited. But the first thing they did afterwards is they went to a Cubs game. And the Cubs had just won the World Series after 100 years. And he was so excited. And next thing I know, I'm getting pictures of my on my phone of Charlie at a Cubs game eating peanuts. So we were so excited.
That's an awesome story. So, I mean, you must be so happy when you hear those stories and kind of that end result of the immense amount of hard work and dedication the parents and obviously you and the child puts into kind of that whole process. You know, it's really a project, to be honest.
It is a big undertaking, which is why you never go into a therapy like this lightly. You really need to understand what you're getting into, think about it, read about it, ask your questions, get them answered, and then go in with your eyes wide open and make sure you have a really strong support network. Maybe a virtual support network online of other people who are doing the same thing as you, or friends in your local community who can be a good support for you, or family members who can help you out, because it's a lot of appointments, it's a lot of time, it's a lot of temporary sacrifice for long-term benefit.
100%. So yeah, thank you for doing that and sharing that story. It really is beautiful. So I want to take a little intermission, and this is called, I do a little segment. It's called the Fast Five Questions.
Okay.
And it's basically a little segment I like to do. I'm not sure if you've heard of 73 Questions on Vogue or Ellen's Burning Questions, but basically, simply, I'm just going to ask you five questions and they're going to be super fast.
Okay.
And this is every guess. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. Now I'm nervous. I wasn't nervous before.
Okay. So are you ready?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Who usually carries the EpiPen in your family?
Me.
Okay. One word or tip being an allergy parent?
Calm.
What's your step-by-step procedure and an allergic reaction?
If you think epi, do epi.
Awesome. Have you, as a parent, stopped eating peanuts at home because of your child's allergy? Or
I did initially, and then we made the decision as a family that we wanted to make sure our child could live in a world that had peanuts in it. So we didn't want to necessarily create a bubble at home. So we slowly brought peanuts back into the household and we would eat them and demonstrate that, listen, you don't eat these things. And if we eat them, we're going to wash our hands afterwards and brush our teeth and eat something else and put it away. And that went pretty well. And then, of course, after the resolution of the peanut allergy, then we brought peanuts back into the home.
Awesome. How do you come across clear to a waiter or waitress when you're eating at a restaurant?
Okay. I think the best thing to say, if you have a life-threatening food allergy, I don't think you should hesitate to use that term life-threatening. And you can ask the waiter if there is someone on staff who is trained in food allergy, who they can talk to, or if you can talk to the manager and explain that you have a life-threatening food allergy to this particular food, and you just need to understand what items on the menu are going to be safe for you to eat, or if they need to be prepared in a different way than usual in order to make them safe.
Awesome. Well, you survived the fast five questions. Awesome. So now we kind of move into the peace side of everything. My podcast is Less Panic, More Peace. So we do the peace part of everything. So this is a simple question. What hope do you think exists with children with food allergies?
I think that there has actually probably never been a more favorable time to be diagnosed with food allergy than now, because we actually have treatments to offer. And my hope is that we get to a point where it's not just one treatment that's available for food allergy, but we have a wide variety of treatments so we can tailor the treatment specifically to the patient and give them exactly the treatment that is right for them. Or we can even modify these therapies and combine them together to customize things to be perfect for that patient. But if you really had to get me to talk about my overarching hope, is that we can prevent food allergy in the first place.
Yes, definitely. I agree. I mean, with all of the allergic reactions my sister, my brother, myself, my friends, my family has kind of endured, we know that prevention is one of the most important things. And restaurant owners, restaurant chefs, it's really, really, really significant and really important to make sure that they are aware of the situation, but not only aware, but they understand and empathize and want to help. You know, being aware, oh yeah, there's allergies, you know, there's allergies out there. Being aware is one thing, but understanding and actually trying to do something to help is another thing. So I definitely concur when you say empathy and basically kind of just agreeing and really helping. So yeah. And you also have a blog, correct?
I do. I used to blog a lot more and I'm just starting to get back into it again. It's allergistmommy.com. And that is where I kind of discuss all things allergy related, allergies, asthma, eczema, parenting, all things like that. And I started the blog, maybe 12 years ago, when my kids were really little, and I blogged a lot at the beginning, and then life got in the way, parenting, starting a practice, writing the books, and I didn't blog much, but I'm starting to get back into it now. So I'm looking forward to sharing more information that is hopefully going to be helpful to people in terms of understanding what an allergist's perspective on the news of the day is.
Yeah, of course. You know, it was really interesting. I actually saw your blog and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. You said, I love the way you put it. And you say, from what I've researched and gained, it was about physicians' perspective on parenting with food allergies. And then you say, and keeping it all together when she really wants a Reese's peanut butter cup. That right there. I mean, that explains everything. That's like a whole wrap on the entire thing.
Well, I gave those up for a long time, and now I'm very happy to report that given Halloween, my entire family, we sit and we eat them together.
That's awesome. So you have a lot of information, obviously. My listeners and our kids, right, and parents with food allergies and without food allergies who want to learn. So what is one thing that you think is very useful for them to think about? And, you know, if you're a new parent with a child who has food allergies, what is one key advice or tip you can give them?
Yeah, I would say mindset is everything.
Yeah, definitely.
So children will intrinsically absorb the attitudes that their caregivers express about living with food allergy. So as a parent or a caregiver, if the way you approach food allergy is, no, don't touch that. Oh my gosh, stay away. Let's wipe you around. No, you can't go there. No, we can't do this. Then the child is going to learn to be afraid. But if as a parent and a caregiver, you say, yes, you have this food allergy, but you can still play soccer and we can still go on vacation and we can still figure out how to go to a restaurant and you can still go to camp and you can still go to the birthday party. We just have to be careful and be prepared. Then you model a positive attitude about living with food allergy, and not just living with food allergy, but thriving with food allergy. And that's what you want your kids to pick up on from a very early age. So they are not anxious and afraid, but they are empowered to advocate for themselves as they move forward through the world, regardless of whether they decide to pursue a desensitization therapy or not. Any child with food allergy should be empowered to advocate for themselves and keep themselves safe, but not feel like they're missing out on life.
Mindset is key, 100%. That's what I preach in my book as well, the little kids book that I have. It's the main message is there may be one thing that you can't do, you know, that you can't eat, but there are 100 things that you can do. Right. And also turning that what you can't do into a strength, helping other people with what you can't do. And so I think that's super, super important, because when you look at something positive, when you look at the more positive things, I feel like you're more likely to be grateful about things, and then you're more likely to be, which results in being happier and not really focusing about it, you know, and it's something you can't control. I just want to like put that out there. You know, you can't control your allergies, you know, try to find treatments if that will make you happy. So kind of embracing it, embracing the chaos, which I have right over here, embracing the chaos is super, super important. So thank you so much. Is there anything else you would like to share to our listeners today?
No, it's just, you know, stay positive, because regardless of what the future holds in terms of treatments, you have it in your power to make your life amazing.
Yes, amazing. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. You're very, very wise and displayed so much information to the audience, and they will really, really benefit from it. And thank you all for tuning in to Less Panic, More Peace. And I will see you next week. Peace out.